Today we're going to be talking about know that you know. And in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 12, we read about in the scripture there, and I'm not going to read it word for word here, but Jesus is being questioned by a group of people. And what they're, it's a group of religious people, and what they're doing is asking him to prove who he is, to prove why he has the authority that he has. And Jesus is so incredibly intelligent and smart. And I mean, Jesus gave them an answer that none of us would expect. He says, the proof that I'm going to give you is actually that is the absence of proof. He says, I'm going to, you know, just as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, I am going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. I mean, Jesus gives them absence of proof to prove who he says he is. And that he has the authority to do the things that, he did on the earth when he walked the earth. He gave them absence of proof. And I love that, friends. Why is that? Because when there's an absence of proof that he loves you, it's just proof that he's about to love you. When there's an absence of proof that he's going to deliver you, it's just proof that he's about to deliver you. When there's absence of proof that he's going to provide for you, it's actually proof that he is going about to provide for you. When there's just an absence of proof that he's moving in your life, it's just proof that God is about to move your life, move in your life. Friends, let me just say this to you, that when it seems like God is up to nothing, he is really up to something. He's really up to something in your life. When it just seems like you're looking all around and it seems like nothing is happening. Listen, he is up to something in your life, and he's moving in your life, whether you realize it or not. Why? Because, friends, say it with me. I'm going to say it once. Three words. He is risen. Everybody say it with me. He is risen. Everybody at home, say it with me again. Everybody here. He is risen. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And did you know there's approximately 15 encounters that he had with people after his resurrection. I mean, he cooked a group of guys breakfast after he was resurrected. I mean, and he met, there were about 500 people saw him alive. I mean, there is actual proof that Jesus is alive and that he was resurrected from the grave. And they say 84% of non-believers, people that don't even confess to know Jesus Christ, 84% believe that Jesus Christ literally died and was resurrected from the grave. 84% of non-believers that don't even believe in him. Jesus is alive today, my friends. He is risen, and we can rejoice because of that. And if as you look in Matthew chapter 28, you can turn there if you would like. It'll be Matthew 28, 5 and 6. And this is after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There were three ladies there, about three ladies that showed up at the tomb to anoint his body there in the tomb. And one of those ladies was Mary Magdalene, remember that. And as they got there to the tomb, the angel spoke to them. They saw an angel. Now, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? They saw an angel, and the angel spoke to them and said this. The Bible says, then the angel spoke to the women, don't be afraid. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If you're sitting by yourself, look at your neighbor that you may just dream that might be there one day and say, do not be afraid, you know. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Just as he said would happen, come see where his body was lying. I love that. Come see where his body was lying. I want to give you proof that Jesus is alive as he spoke to those ladies. Come see where he was laying. He was crucified, but now he is risen, my friends. He is alive. And that's so important to you and me today, that Jesus Christ is alive, because what is that telling me? Number one is that Jesus is who he claimed to be. You know, Jesus was either who he claimed to be or he was a lunatic. You know, who else would go around saying that, well, I'm going to be buried, 3 days in the ground and then I'm going to be resurrected after that? Who else would go around saying those things? Who else would go around saying that I am, although I'm the Son of Man, I'm also the Son of God? Who else would go around with the things that he claimed? As such as this in John chapter 4, verse 6, Jesus said this. Jesus told him, looking at a group of people, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is who he claimed to be. And what really an outrageous claim that he made even in that verse right there, that I am the only way to get to your heavenly Father. Wow. Because of the resurrection, Jesus is who he claims to be. He is our Lord and Savior forevermore. He is our resurrected Savior. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. In another place, he said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Friends, there is no other but Jesus Christ. He is who he claimed to be. He is the resurrected Savior. And because of the resurrection, it also tells us that Jesus will do what he promises. Because it spoke in Matthew chapter 28, it's just like the angel said to them that he died just as he said he would, and he was resurrected just as he said he would. You see, Jesus will do what he claims to do for you. Jesus will fulfill his promises in your life and in my life. Why? Because he is our resurrected Savior. Did you know the day that he was resurrected from the grave is the day that the word impossible left our vocabulary? The day he was resurrected. If God can raise Jesus' three-day dead body from the grave, there's nothing that he can't do in your life and in my life. He is our Lord and Savior, and he can do what he promises he'll do. From the absence of proof from his death, Jesus proved that he was who he said he was. And he also proved in his resurrection, it proves, think about this, that Jesus has the power to be who he claimed to be and do what he promised he'll do. He has the power to do what he claimed he could do. Jesus has the power. Look at your neighbor and say, he has the power. He has the power to do what he claimed to do. In fact, in John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, Jesus, the Bible says this, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority. And another word for authority there is power. I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Jesus has the power to be who he says he is, and he has the power to do what he's promised you, my friend. I can assure you that. That he will not fail you. If he overcame the grave, he can overcome whatever is in your life through you, my friend. And he will move in your life through you. So why does this all matter to you and me? That Jesus is who he says he is. Why does that matter to you and me? Why does it matter that he will fulfill his promises? Why does it matter that he has the power to do all of these things? The first thing, why does that matter? Is because of what he's promised, is that when I trust in him and put faith in him in my life, the Bible tells thee that my past can be forgiven. How many of you would like to stand up here and talk about your past? Anybody? Anybody like to just volunteer to do that, just to tell everything about your past? The good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm sure that most of us probably wouldn't want to stand up here and talk about all of our mistakes and all of our failures and all of the things that have happened in our life. None of us would like to do that. But you know what? When we know Christ and the resurrected Savior, what is the promise that he gives us? Is that our past is forgiven. There's another place in the scripture that says this, is that he cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we're not just forgiven, though he doesn't hold our past against us ever when we put our faith in him. He doesn't hold us against us. He's not punishing you for your past, my friend. If God was punishing you for your past, the cross was not enough. Can I say that again? If God is punishing you for your past, the cross was not enough. God is not punishing you for your past. He's preparing you for your future. And because Jesus is who he says he is, our past is forgiven. The Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2. I love this passage of scripture. It says, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. Wow, read that again. He forgave how much? All of your sins. He forgave all of your sins. And some of us might be thinking, I know I used to think this way. Well, he forgave the ones that weren't so bad. That's the ones he forgave. But the Bible says that he forgave all. Say it again, all. How about a quick definition of all, everybody? All. He forgave all of your... Man, that's incredible, my friends. Because of the resurrected Savior, because Jesus is alive, our past can be forgiven when you put your faith in him. And he no longer holds it against you any longer. Wow. For he forgave all our sins. And not only forgave it, he canceled the record of the charges against us. Don't raise your hand. You ever been in jail or prison before? How would you have liked it if, yeah, don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. And it's okay. You don't have to do that. But how many of you would have liked it when, and I've never been in, well, I have been in jail, taking people to jail when I was a police officer. I've never been behind the bars. I've put people behind the bars. But I can just imagine how many of those guys that I arrested, if when we got there, I just, I'm going to cancel the charges and just let them go. How excited they would have been, you know? If instead of driving them to the jail, I would have drove them to their home and said, I'll go on home, you know. We're going to cancel the charges against you. I'm just going to tear it up and it's going to be gone over with. Man, wouldn't that have been incredible? But that's just what Jesus Christ did for you. He canceled the charges against you, that record of those charges against you, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. I love that. Wow. He nailed it to the cross, my friends. Listen, because he was nailed to the cross, you can stop nailing yourself to the cross now. It's been forgiven. Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, so I can stop nailing myself to the cross. Your past is forgiven, my friend. And you can have a fresh start with God. I don't know if anybody here or anybody watching needs a fresh start today. But with your past forgiven, you can have a fresh start in your life today. And he will cleanse you from all of your sins, and you can be forgiven, even the sins you committed last night. He'll forgive you. Maybe the sins this morning, he'll forgive you. Because we serve a resurrected Savior who will do all that he's promised that he will do, and he has the power to do that. He's already paid the price for your sins upon the cross, and he's canceled the charges against you today, friend. And because of the resurrection, not only is your past forgiven, but you can have hope for today. I don't know if you've ever looked at life and felt hopeless. But because of Jesus Christ and because of his resurrection, you can have hope. You can have hope. I talked about in the first service, I talked about many of us may know a woman, and I couldn't get her name. I didn't get her name right. I mentioned her daughter's name, but a woman by the name of Naomi Judd. Anybody, when I say the name Naomi Judd, know who I'm talking about? You just raise your hand. See, I just identified everybody that listens to country music right here. Yeah. And Naomi Judd and her daughter Winona were just an incredible duo for several years that went around doing concerts and just wonder. Jeannie and I love some of their music, and it's been not long ago that Naomi Judd, who was this incredible country and western star, had all the money she could have ever wanted the night before that she was inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, took her own life. Wow. You know what that tells me? That it's not about money. It's not about being known, all right? She had lost all hope, and some of the reports say it was due to mental illness and some things that she struggled with. But the point is this, when someone takes their life at that point, when they've had all of the successes in the world, somewhere they've lost hope for a better tomorrow. And my friends, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can have hope for today and tomorrow, because he will fulfill every promise that he has promised you. He is faithful. And one of those promises is this, is that he will never leave you nor forsake you, my friend. There's not a moment in your life, everybody up here, everybody watching, there's not a moment in your life that he's left you or forsaken you. And listen, it may seem like it, but remember, the absence of proof is proof that he's about to move in your life. That he's about to move in your life. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, I love this passage of scripture. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. There's that power for that believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Wait a minute. Stop right here. Listen at this, everybody. Listen at this. Did you hear? Did you see what Paul just wrote here? Did you see what he just put in the scripture? Think about this, that the very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in you if you are a child of God today. It's in you. The very same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's hope, my friend. That's hope. The same power that was there when Jesus' lifeless body all of a sudden came to life in that tomb. That same power that raised him from the dead is available to you right now. My friend, that's hope. That is hope. That's someone you can put your hope in. Friends, the resurrection matters. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The resurrection matters, my friend. And the last point I want to make in regards to the resurrection matters is this. Why does it matter? Is because your future can be secure because of the resurrected Savior. Your future can be secure. You know, a lot of people are worried about their future. A lot of people are concerned about your future. That's why a lot of people even lose hope, because they're concerned about their future and what the future looks for. But with Jesus Christ, we can know our future is secure and we can live secure, my friend. Everybody has a deep longing to know about tomorrow. Everybody has a deep longing to know that their life is going to be secure in the days ahead. You know, because of Jesus and his resurrection, you can be secure. You can know. I love what 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5 says. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master, Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Can I stop right there in the middle of that verse and ask you this question? Do you feel like, honestly, that you have everything to live for? Come on. Isn't that exciting? That's exciting. Just to think about it. Do you feel like you have everything to live for? That's what Jesus is in us, is that we have, he gives us everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Man, isn't that, that's exciting. God is keeping careful watch over us in the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. But I love what it says there, the future starts now. You can be secure in your future right now. Did you know you don't have to live another day with insecurity, when Christ is the Lord of your life. You don't have to live another day just wondering what tomorrow holds when Christ is the Lord of your life. You can know that you are secure in Him, my friend. And did you know you're not truly living until you're ready to die? You are not truly living until you're ready to die. You're not truly living until you're ready to die. When there's no fear of death any longer in your life, you're not truly living. Until you know you don't fear death at all because you know your future is secure with Him for eternity. That's the God that we serve, my friends. John 17, verse 3. I love this passage of Scripture. It says, eternal life means to know and experience you as the only true God. Notice what it says, to know and experience you as the only true God. And to know and experience Jesus Christ, the Son whom you have sent. To know and experience Jesus Christ. A man by the name of Sir Charles Lawton, some of you may have heard of him. He's passed away by now. He passed away in 1962. But he was known mainly in London for his great ability to recite poems and literary passages. And in this story, it says Sir Charles Lawton, famous for his readings of poetry and other literary passages, was attending this is a different holiday season, but the story applies. He was attending a Christmas party with a large family in London. And well into the evening, the host of the party decided that each person in attendance should read or recite a favorite passage of Scripture, that one that reminded them most of the spirit of Christmas. And Lawton's turn came near the end, and he recited in a beautifully trained voice. Any of you, who do you think of when you think of a beautifully trained voice? Some of the young ones might know, the older ones might. I think of Paul Harvey. You know, this guy Paul Harvey. And this is the rest of the story. The guy, he had a beautifully trained voice. And so did this man, Sir Charles Lawton. And so he read the 23rd Psalm, and many of us know that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he went on to recite the whole passage, Psalm 23. Everyone applauded his effort, and the process continued going throughout the family members. Within minutes, all had participated except one elderly aunt who had dozed off in the corner of the room. You know, we all have those, maybe those elderly people in our life, and maybe some that aren't so elderly that tend to doze off, don't we? And as this was going on and people were reciting Scripture, this elderly aunt had dozed off while everyone else was reciting the Scripture. And she was particularly loved, and they gently woke her up, explained what was going on, and asked her to take part, gave her the opportunity. She was the last one. She thought for a moment and then began in her shaky voice, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She chose that scripture as well. The room hushed, became quiet as she spoke. And when she was finished, tears were dripping down the face of everyone who had attended. They were just weeping when she finished reading or reciting that. Upon leaving, one of the younger members of the family thanked Sir Lawton for coming and remarked about the difference in the response. The difference in response of the two readings from the family. In one case, there was great appreciation to Sir Lawton. In the other, there was deep connection and involvement in what was happening there. How do you account for it? Asked the young man. Shaking his head, Sir Lawton looked at him and replied simply, I know the psalm. She knows the shepherd. She knows the shepherd. I know the psalm. She knows the shepherd. Friends, I want to ask you this morning on this Resurrection Sunday, do you know the resurrected Savior? Or have you maybe just heard about the resurrection and know about the resurrection? There is a difference. We have knowledge of the resurrection. Just as I said, 84% that don't even believe in Christ as far as Him as their personal Savior believe that there was a man that came and died and He was resurrected. And so what I want to ask you today is, do you know the resurrected Savior? And not just about the resurrection, because that's what changes lives. That's what will change your life, is to know the resurrected Savior. Well, you can remain seated, and I want to ask every head bowed and nobody looking around, and those of you at home, just this moment, let's reverence this moment here. And so good to see you, good to have you. Those that are watching, thank you for watching today. And this Easter Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Jesus Christ. But can I tell you that today you can live with your past forgiven. You can live with hope today. And you can live with hope for a secure future in Jesus Christ. You can experience that today in Him. And I just want to ask, I don't know everybody here in the second service today. I don't know everyone here, but is there anyone here that you could just lift your hand and say, Ken, I really don't know the resurrected Savior, but I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. I know about Him, but I don't really know Him. But today, I want Him to be my Lord. The Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. Is there anyone here that would say, Ken, I don't really know Him? You just lift your hand and put it right back down. Is there anyone here? I just want to give it a moment. Just lift your hand and put it right back down. I want to give it just a moment. I want to give you the opportunity. Anyone here that say, Ken, I don't know Him. I don't really know Him. I don't have a relationship with Him. Just give you this moment. I know about the resurrection, but I don't really know the resurrected Savior. Anyone, you just lift your hand, slip it right back down. Maybe you're here today and you say, Ken, you know, there's a time that I was living with a fresh start. I know I was, if I can say it this way, on top of the world. I knew He'd changed my life, but I've just kind of slipped back from that. And I need a fresh start in my life today. You just lift your hand. Is there anyone here? You just lift your hand and say, I need a fresh start today, Ken. I need a new beginning in my life. You there at home, if I'm speaking to you, you can just write there and make a comment there if you would like. Or get on our website if you need prayer. You can go to encounterpeople.tv and there will be something pop up there for prayer. If you'd like prayer, we'll pray for you. But anybody here that would just say, I need a fresh start in my life. Won't you stand with me, if you will? And I want everyone to stand. And it's so good to have you here today. And I do want to say this to everyone here, and is that in our early service, it was burning up in here because it was only standing. It was just completely full. But in the second service, I am freezing. It's cold. You know, we adjusted it for the first service, and it was just like it's still sweaty. I was sweating because all the people. I was just. And now, so I apologize for though I see some of you, it's cold. Well, let me just say this to you that are cold. I am too. I am cold too, man. And some of you are like, ah, it's cold. It feels great. But I just want you to know that you can have a personal relationship with Him. And I need somebody to hear this. for many years, I lived with this thought in my life, is that God loved me because he had to, because he is love. He is love, isn't he? And without even realizing it, I lived with a perception that God had to love me because he is love. Then I had something happen even just recently in my life that the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, Kenneth, I want to love you. I don't just have to love you because I am love. I want to love you. And there's a big difference, my friend, in feeling like he loves you because he has to. Because some of us don't feel worthy of his love. Yeah, but well, he has to because he is love. No, my friend, he wants to love you. He wants to. He desires you. He desires you today. And we have communion here set up for you this morning. And what we want to do, and everybody's invited to participate here this morning. Even if you're visiting with us, you're invited to participate. And what you can do is come and to the section in front of you and grab, to the table in front of your section and grab one of these cups, and the top of it is some bread. And then take it back to your chair, and we're going to share this communion together. Those of you at home that are watching, you can go get some juice or cracker or bread, whatever, and then you can share the communion with us. We're going to give it just a moment, and you can go get those things and share communion with us. So if you would come, take the communion, grab the communion, take it back to your seat, and we'll share the communion together once everyone has done this. If you know this song, you can sing it. Through again. Take the cup and you can peel off that top layer and grab the bread if you haven't already. And this bread represents his broken body on the cross and how he was severely beaten there on that cross. And the Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. And when we partake of this bread, we are partaking of his body. Jesus was sitting around with his disciples before he went to the cross, and they shared communion together. And he told them, do this in remembrance of me. And so today we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And we partake of this bread. We partake of his broken body. And we declare the truth of his broken body and what it means to us, that promise that by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, the Bible says. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed, my friend. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the broken body of Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you are willing to come to the cross and to give your life. We love you and thank you for it. Now, we share in this communion together and partake of this bread representing your body. Let's take the bread together. Jesus, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you. For your blood that was shed up on the cross. I thank you that even though that was a couple of thousand years ago, there's still power in the blood today. And the blood of Jesus still speaks to us today. And the blood of Jesus still covers our sins today. And our past is forgiven when we put our faith in you. And I thank you for that. I thank you for what this cup represents. And we apply this today to our lives in Jesus' name. Let's share the cup together. Wow, thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we serve a risen Savior, Lord. And that for eternity, we can start living eternity right now. We are secure in Christ when we have put our faith in Him. And I thank you for that. And we love you that we serve a resurrected Savior. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.